being at the club and seeing you, right.
Oh, we had a great time there. We had a great time. Mm-hmm. It was forced to stop every weekend there.
Yeah, I was right
there.
I've gotten my 50 years in as a musician.
Good.
Yeah, 50 years. You're still in the local.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're a 50-year person, too, huh?
Right.
I tell you, not off the record, like I say it the way, I'm going to be there to last, if I'm the last one there.
Oh,
I will not
too.
Be run out at all. I'm going to stay there and pay my dues and stay in there forever until I leave here.
That's
the way I feel about it. I don't want to get out of there.
Yeah, I don't think twice about it.
No. A lot of guys say the heck with it, you know, and they but I'm not going to let that happen to me. You attend the junior meetings there, and saw all the pretty girls that used to walk by there.
Oh my God! Talking about pretty ladies.
Oh my goodness!
There was an abundance.
Oh my God! Yeah. And they all knew where to come because that was where it happened. Yeah.
That's where it happened.
Oh yeah! You remember the floor shows they used to have? What were the McGandys and the Belcher and them and who was the MC that stayed there for you? Red head guy, like tall, like brown skin guy.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
He was there for quite a while.
He'd
run the shows and everything.
Right.
Doggone it! I shouldn't be able to remember that man's name because he was there for quite a. And of course, people like Cornell Cooper and them.
Used
to come in the entertainers. Yeah.
Used to sing that song.
Me and My Shadow? No, what was that song he sang? He was famous for that. But we had some great entertainers that used to come, not only musicians, but entertainers used to come in, the singers and that used to come in. Now, after the club left from downtown, after they tore it down, we moved to a place, a nightclub in East Liberty. His name was Johnny Brown. It was on Frankstown Avenue.
Right.
And it was a beautiful club.
Beautiful club.
Yeah. Did you ever go out there?
In fact, I went there and Cicely Tyson was there one time. A little scrawny thing.
Yeah, the great actress.
And I sat down with her and she was over the Playhouse in a show. So she eventually went on to be a great movie star.
Oh, yeah, she's a great actress.
Great actress,
She married Miles.
Married Miles Davis,
I always admired her. She was a wonderful actress. And, of course, that club was just beautiful. And who was the president at that time? Do you remember the local...
Carl Harder.
Carl was the president. Because Joe Westray was the president before Carl.
Before Carl.
Right.
Right.
And let's talk a little bit about Joe. Joe was a good friend of yours out here.
And
he helped you out a lot as far as, because Joe was older than
we are.
And he had a band here for years,
Joe used to get me a lot of jobs.
Did he?
For my band,
Let me ask you this. We're getting down near the end of my interview a little bit. How long have you been an active leader?
Well, since high school.
Okay, we're talking over 50 years. You need to be congratulated for that period.
Thank you.
It's a job, the reason I say that, not only musically, but it's a job working with different people
over
a period of 50 years.
All
the different personalities, all the...
That's why we have survived, because we read music. Mm-hmm. And I can bring the charts on the job, and they read it right off the music. Mm-hmm. Other groups just get together, and they're stumbling about what to play next.
Well, that's one thing I hate, when after the song's over, what we're going to do next.
What we're going to do next.
Oh, that bothers me.
But I have an itinerary that I make up before all jobs. Mm-hmm. You know that. And we go by the itinerary. Sometimes we deviate from it, mm-hmm. but it's still within that period. Mm-hmm.
Now, just one other question. In dealing with the different personalities that you have had in your band, right. Was it hard, or was it like juggling a balls up in the air? Because you had one guy was like this, another one would be something else, another one would be something.
Sometimes it's hard because of the people you deal with, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
But first of all, you got to make them respect you.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't respect you, don't be sad.
You don't have no band at all.
And I've been through that, but they just play with me mm-hmm. one or two times. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, it involves the music you play, mm-hmm. if they want to get into it. And it involves what the person's attitude is toward music and toward you. So you got a threefold problem. Well, it's not a problem with me. There. And I found out as long as you pay somebody the right wages, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and they'll perform with mm-hmm. you. They'll perform good.
Right.
And I always said, ask anybody, is there any trouble, you know?
Oh, yeah. Which is the best. We get it out and open now.
Yeah.
Don't let it fester and cause a problem with the whole group.
Cause a problem with the whole group.
I understand that.
You know.
Yeah, sure.
And if I see a guy whispering they got like a click going, I tell the guy, we really don't have a click in this band. Now, I don't know what you call them together for, mm-hmm. but if it's an ominous thing, don't do that.
Oh, no.
You know.
The one thing, I won't mention the name, but maybe you know who I'm talking about. One of the premier drummers at one time who played with the great Dizzy Gillespie started similar situations.
Right.
So I can understand what you're saying. You have to have peace and harmony in your group to have a nice group.
Right.
There's no question.
Right.
I played in a big band, and I'll make it real quick, whereas we had some of the top stars of Pittsburgh at that time.
Uh-huh.
And they used to fight about who was going to play
lead
solos,
yeah,
or who's
solo.
Going to play the lead trumpet, or who's going to play the trumpet.
Yeah.
And it caused quite a bit of, you know.
It caused quite a bit of, you know.
Yeah, yeah. How often, if ever, did you go to the club in East Liberty? Well, it was a little further away.
I went there off and on about 2-3 times out of the month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Then I wouldn't go for a while, and then I would go.
Was it because of things had changed, or because of the distance between your home and there?
Well, things have kind of changed by that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The move, I think, made things change.
Yes, no question about
it.
We all felt that way, too. It just never seemed to get to be the same as
never
it was.
Never got to be the same.
No. Were you active in any of the union affairs at that time? Particular the Johnny Browns, the
no,
other
no,
just a member.
Right.
Now, do you still professionally perform?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they say when is the last time you performed, but within a week or month or whatever it is, you're still active, in other words. Now, the one other question. If you were asked to give advice to younger musicians, what advice would you give them?
First thing I'd give them is tell them to learn their horn and learn how to read.
Mm-hmm. And when you say horn, that means any instrument?
Any instrument. Okay. And learn how to read, because music has become so sophisticated now. We're in the Cyprus space age now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Where there's a lot of computers and everything. Mm-hmm. I have a program upstairs here at my computer. I can write out music and change the key. And it's, which I haven't really perfected yet, mm-hmm. but I hope to perfect it before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And then I can arrange much more easily.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
They have programs now that they'll send you on the computers that you can even play along with the group that's on there.
Right.
They take the horn out that you don't want to hear.
Right.
And put yourself in and right in the same right. in the group with them.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, so consequently, I would tell them to learn to read, learn your horn very well, mm-hmm. and learn standard tunes, because mm-hmm. they never die.
No, no, that's right. They're here
they
for
never
them.
Die.
That's right.
Yeah.
How about their character, Walt? What would you tell them as far as their character is concerned, about how they should look on the game, yeah. how they should act? What do you say to them?
Well, one thing that you're talking about the younger guys.
Yes.
What's the fabulous trumpet
player name?
Wenton Marcellus was at my last club. Every night they wore suits and ties. And I had been doing that. Mm-hmm. They said, what do I wear? A suit and a tie, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've played in some places where we were the best dressed people in the place.
Yep.
But see, doing that suit and tie thing, that brings respect to you. Yeah, that brings respect.
You come in there and overhaul, they're going to act, they're going to treat you like you went overhaul.
Treat you like that, exactly. Right.
Now, as far as the drinking and things, I would tell them, give them a little advice on that.
Yeah, never get drunk on a job. If you drink on a job, have one or two, don't try to just mesmerize yourself. Mm-hmm. Have one or two drinks, that's
right.
Social.
Right. And as far as socializing with the ladies and the people in the club, what do you tell them?
I tell them to socialize with anybody you know mm-hmm. and anybody you'd like to know. Mm-hmm. But if you hit on somebody and they reject you, leave immediately.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, leave immediately. Because you don't want a problem.
That's right. Because it could be your gig or it could be a fight.
Right.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I think we covered pretty well. Is there anything you can think of other than that you want to say? Or?
Well, I just want to say you're a hell of a sax player.
He paid me. And I'm paying him to say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a pleasure doing this tape with you, and it's a pleasure knowing you.
Well, thank you very much. All right. We're going to stop it right there. And